Today is a very interesting day. Purim Katan, right? This is at the end of the Shulchan Aruch, or Chaim ends Tof Reish Tzadik Zayin. The seven halachas we have Purim Katan, Yoyim Yudale V'Tesvot Shvador Rishoin, and Leifin Al Peneihem. Yeah, we don't do Tachnun, don't say Yan Hashem B'Yoyim Tzoro, also Behesped, the Tainis, and it finishes off with some Noya game we brought down over here that Mishra Brewer brings down, Bahagos Tashbetz, Kosav Diesha Harbois. There's a mitzvah to Marbe Besuda. Ramah doesn't necessarily feel that that is absolute chiyuv, but he says, "V'komochim yarbe ketzas besuda k'day lotzei sidei machmirim v'toyv leiv mishte tomid." Person's good-hearted, will always have meals, right? That's how the Shulchan Aruch finishes. So today is Purim Katan. It's got a lot of, you know, this would be ultimately, if it was not for the other year, this would be proper Purim. And it very, very often falls in Parshas Kisiso. Very often falls in Parshas Kisiso, some in Parshas Tzavi, Parshas Kisiso. What connection is there between this Parsha and Purim Katan? So, we find in Parshas Truma, a little bit in Parshas Tzavi, we talk about the different Chiyuvim that Klal Yisrael met when they brought different Trumas. And they brought Zav, Vekesef, Nechishes, they brought all the different Trumas, they were asked to do it, and it came with a Nediva Saleh, they came with enthusiasm, with generosity, and they brought everything they were supposed to. In this week's Parshas Kisiso, the Parsha begins with a new Nedava, a new campaign, a new fundraising campaign. What is that? A half a shekel. Everyone is asked not to be in the Nediva Saleh, not to give it anything more, anything less. You're asked everyone to give the same amount of half a shekel, and that shekel was kesef, made from silver, and it was supposed to be given for one purpose only, for the Adonim. For the Adonim, for the foundations, for the walls around the Mishkan. So what purpose is there to make two separate fundraising campaigns? Why have the campaign of Parshas Truma, and why have a fundraising campaign which is very, very limited? Where the Forshim ask, how can you possibly make a campaign where you're not allowed to give more? Where every person has to give the same amount. What idea is there behind this machzor shekel? But this campaign was for the Adonim, it was made of silver and a half amount. What's the idea behind this? So there's a fascinating Gemara. The Gemara brings down the Megillah Daf Yud Gimel on the base. The Gemara says, Omer Reish Lakish, Goloi v'yadua lifnei mi sh'omah v'hoya ho'ilom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knew, sh'osid homon lishkol shkolim al Yisrael. The homon is going to invest in order to completely destroy Klal Yisrael. He's going to invest in Shkolim. Lefikach hikdim shikleihem l'shkolov, and that is why Hakadosh Baruch Hu each year makes us pay Shkolim in order to make sure that we don't get affected by his Shkolim. V'hainu d'snanas Mishnah be'echod ba'ador mashmiim al Shkolim. On the echod ba'ador, the first ba'ador, we have what we know as Parsha Shkolim. We have that first. So Moshe Feinstein asks, Homon invested Shkolim to destroy Klal Yisrael. He's out there to kill every man, woman, and child. So Kodesh Baruch Hu made sure that we give our Shkolim first, that we should not be like Homon. Of course we should be like Homon. Homon did a terrible thing. He invested a shekel for a terrible, terrible, terrible investment. So what HaKodesh Baruch Hu tells us to give Shkolim first in order to override Homon. What's the connection? Why do we have to do that? Homon is a terrible man. We're wonderful people, Baruch Hashem. So why do you have to invest Shkolim before his shekel? What's the idea behind that? So Ramesha says a beautiful, 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 beautiful drosha in Drosha Chof Dalet. Have a look inside. In Drush Chof Dalet in the Sefer, in Dorosh Ramesha. And he goes through the various of the different of the Arba Parashis. And in Parashas Shkolim, he brings his kasha. And he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you learn through the Ramchal, and various other Sfarim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is a mative. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is in this world for one purpose. To give a Shefa to Klal Yisrael. To give Shefa to mankind, but especially to Klal Yisrael. And to give them everything they need. To give them an abundance of money, to give them abundance of health, everything they possibly need. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants every single one of us to be a Bill Gates. He wants to give us enormous wealth. To be unlimited in wealth. But there's a problem. And the problem is that as we see, a wealthy person ultimately has more tzoros than a person who doesn't have so much money. You know, you see sometimes, you see homeless people and it's a cold night and they're wrapped up, you know, with newspapers and they're lying on a park bench and they're sleeping, maybe alcohol, but they're sleeping, having a good night's sleep, and then you get these people in this beautiful mansion with all the cameras, and they're on water beds, and they can't sleep. Why? Because they don't know how the stocks are doing in Japan, and how the stocks are doing in Germany, and they can't sleep. And they're working out how they can make more money. And therefore, ultimately, wealth is not something that necessarily brings happiness. You know, they make research of people who have won the pools, who won the pais, right? How miserable, how suicidal, how terrible, terrible ends these people have. Yeah, everyone wants to be like that. And it's not that great. So why is that?
It's a klala.
It's a real serious klala. Everyone pays to have this klala. I mean, everyone. People love to have this klala. So is there a bracha? Is there a klala? On one hand, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wants to give us parnasa, but he knows there's a klala. What is the key to being able to identify if it's a bracha or klala? The idea obviously is to know how one should use it. And if it's possible for a person to be focused that money is a tool to be able to help himself and help his family, help society, then it's a wonderful thing. And if not, it's just ultimately something that is going to increase a person's taiva, a person's greed, a person's wish for world domination. And you see it. You see people, I can't understand it. You get a guy like Donald Trump. Yeah? Donald Trump has done very, very well financially. What does he need this headache for to be the president of America? What do you need it for? Ego is covered, is taiva. I want every single person to be under my thing. Not only my workers, he may have, I don't know how many workers, 10,000 workers, I don't know how many he has. No, but I want to be the number one man. And he doesn't have that much respect, yeah, from the various different media outlets. He can be quite sure. No, but therefore this is a taiva. You get the mafia people, they have enormous wealth, enormous power. No, they want more and they want more and more until they blow themselves up, or they blow their family up, or they blow everyone else. It's something that is totally destructive unless a person knows how to deal with it correctly. The perfect idea of a person who ultimately looked for world domination, he had so much and wanted to do everything, was Haman. Haman. The Pasuk says, Gemara says, Haman min ha-Torah minayin. Where is the source of Haman? So the Pasuk says, by the Chet Odom Rishon, the Nochash says, Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh. Hamin is Haman. Very nice. So it's a play on the words, and it can be read the same way. What's that?
Nachash says? Hashem says.
Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh. So what's Hamin ha-Eitz hazeh or Haman? What's it got to do with one with the other? So the Mefarshim, I think Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky brings it down, certain place, other people as well. They say that Adam Arishan had everything. Everything the Malachim was serving him. He didn't have a mother-in-law. Anything he could possibly wish for. Gan Eden Mikedem. He had everything he possibly wanted. One thing he couldn't have, and he wanted that. Haman was exactly the same. He started off from a poor horse worker. He was an Eved. He was Mordechai's Eved. And he grew, and he grew, and he became wealthier and wealthier. And he had everybody, Kulam Mishtachlim, everyone was bowing down to him. But there's one man who didn't. And what did he say when he came home? The coals there, Nenu Shavali, nothing is worthwhile. And because of that, I want to kill not only him, it's Am Mordechai. I want to kill him and his family and all Klal Yisrael, Noshim and Noshim Atav, because I don't have everything. Unless, therefore, you see a person who has enormous greed. He had enormous wealth. He had everything going for him. And he had nothing. He had nothing. Because there in Nenu Shavali, it's worth nothing. That is a classic Haman. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to be Meitiv. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to give us, but he doesn't want us to be a Haman. So what does he do? So he says, this week's parasha is all about the Shkolim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I want you, after you've given Zav, the Kesef, and Choshev, all these wonderful things, I want you to make a new separate Nedava. I wanted to give a new separate gift to the Mishkan, which is not just another part of the Mishkan that could be used for decorative purposes. It is a very foundations, it's the Adonim. It's the very foundations of the Mishkan of something which is Kesef. Not from copper. Copper is a necessary tool. Not from wood. Wood we need. But once you're going over and above the necessities, once you're starting with Kesef, once you started something which is not absolutely necessary for day-to-day survival, I want you to learn a lesson. That the foundations of your satisfaction, the foundations of your happiness is based on one thing. If you know half is for me and half is for Hashem. Half is for my purposes and half is for other people. If you give half,
if you give half for other people, you don't take it all for yourself. You're not greedy and have and become self-domination and take over the whole world with your money, with your greed, then you'll be happy. And therefore, especially in this particular case, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the Adonim as a separate focus that they should see, don't be like Haman. That's Peshat in the Gemara, says Ramesha. Haman, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to be like. Haman used his money in order to destroy Klal Yisrael, called Kol Zen and Ashovali. Nothing's worthwhile unless he has everything. Therefore, Hikdim Shikleim Neshkolov, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to us, I want to make sure that I give you Shkolim beforehand to know how not to be a Haman. Hikdim Shkolim, in other words, I want to make sure that you don't become a Haman. Make sure you learn this lesson of how to deal with money in a healthy way, that you should not be a person that Haman can become. Hikdim Shikleim. In other words, every year we give a Machzor Shekel to remind ourselves, I do not want to be a Haman. A person, absolutely, a person who, now I was once at a wedding, and it was a very, very wealthy wedding, and you know, so I happened to be sitting on the wealthy people's table, because I was a founding member with one of them, and you know, I talk about, you know, I imagine people are talking about cars, you know, what car you have, what year car. These people were talking about planes. I'm not joking. These people were talking about planes. Did you hear Yankel Berel? He got himself another 26-seater twin-engine Rolls-Royce. That's what they're talking about. Rachmanis. See how much pressure they're going to have now to have the cars have dealt with, maybe the yacht they have as well, now they're dealing with a plane. Where does it stop? A spaceship? Where does it go on? And therefore, the more they need Yeshem on the Motsu inside. And therefore, this is how Minha Eitzazah, which Baruch is a Hikdim, half. You give half for the foundations of life is understanding that I don't need everything for myself. It's half me and half for the Rabbeinu Shleilim. That's Haman. Lahavdol, Mordechai. Mordechai min atoyer minayin. Where do we see Mordechai? Mordechai is also brought down in this week's parasha, and it's learnt from the. It's learnt from the Targum. It talks about the Somim Dror. When it starts talking about Somim Dror is Mordechai. Mordechai is Mordechai. Now, I feel very, very sorry for Mordechai, honestly. Haman has a word in the Torah. Hamin, Haman, very nice. Mordechai has got to come onto a Targum Unklus. He's got to squeeze his way in. If we don't have a Targum Unklus, we've got one of the, you know, the Hertz edition Chumashim, we don't see Mordechai in the Chumash, right? So why does Mordechai push his way in through Nebuchadnezzar Targum Unklus? And what is the remez of Mordechai becoming through the Ketores? What's the day behind that? So there's an interesting machlekes. What exactly this Mordechai is? What is this Mordechai? Anyone know what this Mordechai is in the Ketores? One of it when it's Mordechai,
Mir.
Mir. What is Mir? Mir is spelled apparently Mem. Sorry, Mem, screw. Myrrh. Mir. Must be some kind of, I don't know, must be a Greek word, I don't know. It's not a usual spring. What is that?
It's yeshiva.
It's yeshiva. Yeah? It's a gum resin. It's a gum resin, according to the Raivut, the Ramban, Rabbeinu Bechaya, it is a plant extract. It's a plant extract. According to the Barbanel, and the Radak, and Rav Sadia Gaon, is actually something what you know as musk. M-U-S-K. Now what is musk? Where does musk come from?
Deer.
From a deer. Yeah? A musk is from a certain deer that is obtained through a sac beneath the abdominal skin of the male musk deer. Right? It's taken from a deer. Yeah? Now, Mordechai means a wild deer. In other words, there are deers that are homegrown, and there are wild deers. So according to this Peshat, you've got to take a wild deer, and you've got to take this musk from this wild deer, and that is what is used for the Ketores. What's the day behind that? Whatever Haman was, Mordechai was the opposite. Where Haman was trying to dominate other people and control other people, Mordechai was all about emancipation. Mordechai was all about opening up. Mordechai was all about giving other people control of their lives. Not trying to overpower other people. In fact, empowering other people to go and do what they need. This wild deer. You can't even have, it can't be domesticated. It's got to be a wild deer. Free. That was Mordechai. Mordechai had no needs for himself. Mordechai invested, Rabbi Yisai, he was the ultimate of an Askan. He saved Klal Yisrael from absolute disaster, from total destruction. And what's the end of the possible, it says, Hoy Roiv Echol, some people were, Doyesh Taylor, Chol Zaroi, Rotzel, Roiv Echol, some people did like it, some people didn't like him, the Sanhedrin separated from him. He got no thank you for it. Mamish, unbelievable. He got nothing for it. Why? Because it wasn't for himself. It was for the sake of the Klal. You have this, Mordechai is represented by a wild deer. That is nothing, it's not something you control. You take it and it just runs away. That is Mordechai, not trying to pull in for himself, in fact, giving to other people. How, do you know, does anyone know how Mordechai is described in the Mishnayos? There's a Mishnah. He's called Petachio. But Petachio, the Gemara, the Mishnah brings down in Yuma, Petachio ala kinim, Petachio ze Mordechai. Yeah, Petachio. Why is Petachio? Petachio is Mordechai. Why is it called Petachio? Gemara says, the Mishnah says, Shohoyo Peseach b'dvorim, v'dorshim v'yedea shivim loshim. He was able, Shohoyo Peseach b'dvorim, he would give droshes, v'darshim, and he knew 70 languages. He knew 70 languages. What's the day behind that? So what I'd like to say is, that Mordechai was not somebody who, in order to discuss something with him, in order to communicate with him, you had to speak in his language. He'll do anything possible to try and understand you. You don't have to come up to me. I'll come down to your level. If you don't understand me, I'll learn a language to make sure I do understand you. You know, you speak Schwitzerdeutsch, I'll speak Schwitzerdeutsch. If you speak Spanish, I'll speak Spanish. You name it, I'll do anything possible to make that communication with you, because don't have to work too hard for me. I'm willing to work for you. That's Mordechai Shepetachio. He was Shivim Loshen. He was 70 languages, and that's what we wanted to communicate in the 70 languages. He was giving each person their own unique way of communicating, not making and limiting this person to be my way of thinking. No, I give you your freedom. That was Mordechai, says the Gemara, and he was also, he was Mamunah al Mot, he was Mamunah al Hakenim. Kenim are the birds. That was his job. He was in charge of birds. Why on birds? Why not on animals, which is a far more prestigious job? The Teretz is, birds were always sold in sets. You never bought a single bird, you always bought a set of birds. What's the deal? A set of birds is, again, it's not me, it's a half a shekel, they're two birds together. It's all about me and you, me coming down to you rather than me, than you coming, than me having control over you. Mordechai represented the idea of giving you your space, and I'll come and I'll do my very, very best to try and understand you. Not you have to be controlled by me, which is Homer. And that's why perhaps, Mordechai, even the greatest compliment you can give him is that his name is hinted in the Targum. It wasn't hinted in the Torah itself, it's hinted in the Targum, because part of Mordechai's speciality, part of Mordechai's greatness was that he had Targum. He was able to translate himself in 70 languages. And therefore Mordechai's greatness was the Targum. The fact that he's able to represent himself in all different languages to each person, the Targum is a greatness that is not in the Pasuk itself, it has to be in the Targum. Fair? Okay. Now, as we know, Mordechai is known as Ish Yehudi. Hoyse b'shushan abiru, Shmoy Mordechai ben Yoy ben Shimi ben Kish. Right? Why? Mordechai is quite well known. Yeah? Why do you have to go all the way to Shimi? And who is Shimi? Who is Shimi? Shimi was Shimi ben Gera. Shimi ben Gera was a wicked person that went and Rachmon and Litzlan spoke against the king in a most violent and derogatory way. And Shimon ben Gera eventually was killed by Shlomo HaMelech. So why give Mordechai the title of Shimi, and why bring up the skeleton in the closet? Why give him that introduction to what it's all about? So Reb Chaim Shmulevitz has a beautiful thought. Reb Chaim Shmulevitz says, why did David HaMelech wait to his deathbed to kill Shimon ben Gera? Shimon ben Gera was Chayv Nisi, he's married by Malchus. He had to be killed. Why did he wait till the last minute? So he said, when a person on his deathbed, the last thing he's thinking about is world domination. A person is not thinking about controlling the world in his real moments of truth. David HaMelech said, maybe there's a little tiny nth degree of homon in me that wants to control Shimon ben Gera, and there's a chutzpah that he doesn't have respect for me. Therefore, let me wait to my very last moment of my life to make sure that it's the last thing I'm thinking about. If at that moment I'm still thinking about that, I know that I'm being amnestic. I know I'm being a Mordechai. I know I'm being truthful. And if he waited till the very last minute, what did he tell Shlomo HaMelech? Use your chochma and kill him. What did Shlomo HaMelech do? Shlomo HaMelech didn't kill him. He told him, told Shimon ben Gera, you have to stay in Yerushalayim, make a shvuah and stay in Yerushalayim. Ask the Chaim Shmulevitz. Yerushalayim is beautiful. It's the most beautiful city in the world. And Shimon ben Gera noch runs away and he gets killed. He's a very, very bright guy. Why did he do that? The terrorist is because once you enforce yourself on other people and you force Yerushalayim, who's the most beautiful city, on somebody, it becomes a prison walls. That is the opposite of Mordechai. Mordechai became great by giving people their freedom. I'll come down to your level. You don't have to come up to my level. I'll try and understand you. I'm not going to try and control you. And therefore, Mordechai became a Mordechai by having a grandfather of Shimi and understanding the lessons of Shimi. That's how he came what he became. Therefore, this parsha is all about the ideas of the half a shekel, dafka for the Adonim, which is a new truma, in order to get us in focus of what ultimately HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to do with our money, to be able to give to the other person in order to have a korsa toiv to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give us more. But if we don't appreciate that, then we become Hamina Eitzazeh, we become like a Homon in a Torah Minayin, where it's total control. And the opposite is Mordechai, who is a free, he's represented by a free deer that allows people to come, who gives people the freedom of Shivim Loshim, by works with sets of birds. It's not just me, it's you, it's working in sets. That's Mordechai. The beginning of the Shulchan Aruch, Aruch Chaim, begins with Shevisei Hashem and Negdi Tomid. And it ends with another Tomid, V'toiv Leiv Mishte Tomid. So my Rebbe Reb Chaim Kaufman used to say, Shnaim Layoim Tomid. And every day you've got to do two Tomids. Shevisei Hashem and Negdi Tomid. Have Yerushalayim, fear of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and also Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid, be good, enjoy, understand what life is all about. Toiv Leiv Mishta Tomid, have feast, have a good time. But what's the difference? If you understand the Shulchan Aruch correctly and you learn the lessons of the Aruch Chaim, you start off with a Shvisa Hashem and Negdi Tomid. Yerushalayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu the whole time. If you learn halachas correctly, you know how to use the Torah for your benefit. You know how to use gashmis for the right level. Then you can go to a meal and you can be with toiv leiv mishta tomid.